speaks predominantly to northern Israel, where Zephaniah was a prophet speaking to southern Judah, part of Israel. And we are reading today from Zephaniah, from chapter 10. If it's not from chapter 10, from chapter 14, sorry. Sing, O daughter of Zion, shout aloud, O Israel. Be glad and rejoice with all your heart, O daughter of Jerusalem. The Lord has taken away your punishment. He has turned back your enemy. The Lord, the King of Israel, is with you. Never again will you fear any harm. On that day they will say to Jerusalem, do not fear, O Zion. Do not let your hands hang limp. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. The sorrows for your appointed feasts I will remove from you. They are a burden and a reproach to you. At that time I will deal with all who have oppressed you. I will rescue the lame and gather those who have been scattered. I will give them praise and honor in every land where they were put to shame. At that time I will gather you. At that time I will bring you home. I will give you honor and praise among all the peoples of the earth when I restore your fortunes before your very eyes. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. Jesus, come and be our teacher. Inspire us by your word to be a people of faith. Deepen within us a trust and confidence in you that we can hope in your promises. For we pray this in your name. Amen. Zephaniah was a prophet who addressed the people of Judah. If you were to go home today and read the first two chapters, it would be a chapter of doom and gloom. Zephaniah seeks to make them aware that suffering is coming into their lives, that there will be struggle. And in a real sense, that's the truth of our lives. Suffering is a part of the human condition. I have no doubt that if we were to go around this room, there would be not a single person in this place who has not at some point borne pain or struggle. Hurt, wounds, illness, something that has broken your heart, that has prevented you from experiencing life as you would hope and desire. That's the struggle that the people of Judah bring. It was a struggle for the people of Israel. They were entering into a time where they would be vanquished, that they would be overcome, and they would cry out in those moments, where are you, God? A cry that I know many of us have spoken on our lips. My God, where are you? But Zephaniah doesn't only speak words about the impending struggle. He comes to them now in chapter 3 and verse 14, and he invites their faith to trust and hope in God. Zephaniah is a little bit unusual because most of the other prophets that we find in the Old Testament saw God's deliverance coming through a Davidic king. Somehow this mighty warrior king would come. He would get rid of anyone who messed with Israel, chase them out, and establish a new reign of God's power and influence. Zephaniah is different. His hope is not in a Davidic king. His hope is in God as king. The Lord, the King of Israel, is with you. And in such a promise, he is in good company. You will remember that when the people of Israel cried out for a king, what was God's response? You silly, silly people. You don't want a king. When you have kings like that, they will build for themselves massive palaces. Sound familiar? They will put heavy burdens of tax on you. They will have favorites and cause enmity and struggle in your community. You don't want a king. Instead, allow me to be your king. Trust in me. But you will know that the people said no, and God relented and gave them what they asked for, which is sometimes not what they need. But Zephaniah is different. For he says the answer to your struggles is not some human being. The answer to your struggles is God himself. God entering into your life, showing up in the local neighborhood, becoming for you a king who is available and accessible. and a special kind of king. Listen to the kind of king that God promises to be. Do not fear. Do not let your hands hang limp. The Lord is with you. He takes great delight in you. The Lord your God is with you. He is mighty to save. I wish I had enough money to buy a front page advert on the Sunday Times that simply said, He is mighty to save. Because I have a sense that if we were able to allow ourselves to hear those words and allow them to enter our flesh and our being, they would cast a light into the rest of the newspaper, which so often is stories of doom and gloom and malice and slander and violence and anger. The simple truth is that Zephaniah invites the people in the midst of their brokenness, their hurting, their suffering, to believe that God is able to save them, to rescue them. God is mighty to save. He will take great delight in you. He will quiet you with His love. Is there any part of your soul that longs to be quieted with love? An anxiety, a fear, something that causes you to tremble. God longs to quiet you with love. Love that is generous and forgiving, compassionate and caring. Love that seeks to hold and embrace. Zephaniah has this vision for a people in struggle and turmoil, a wounded people, a broken people, that God comes to them as the king to serve them with love, to quiet their souls. Can you hear a God who comes to you to quiet your soul? I will remove from you the burden of reproach to you. At that time I will deal with all who have oppressed you. I will rescue. When I read the newspaper at times and watch the news, there is a moment of despair. But the promise of this scripture is that God will not be mocked forever. That which stands against God cannot and will not last. I can't tell you the exact date or time, whether it'll be in the next day or the next month or the next year. I cannot even tell you if it'll be in my life. But the structures, the things that seek to oppress and rob people of life, cannot stand against God. They will not last. For our God is mighty to save and is able to rescue and redeem what is broken and is in the business, the work of mending our broken society. Not just corporately, but individually as well. For Zephaniah goes on to say, I will rescue the lame. I will gather those who have been scattered. I'll give them praise and honor. God not only seeks us to restore society, but each individual person who is wounded or broken. Each one of us that carries scars which we long to be healed. Jesus has revealed us, God, to be a God of grace and mercy. Just think of His encounters. Those who are stooped with burdens, He straightens up. The blind, He restores sight. The lame, He gives again power to move and act in full life. This is a God who longs to quiet us with love, who is mighty to save, who seeks to set us free from that which oppresses us individually and corporately. Zephaniah speaks a word of hope and invites people to come and be restored and made whole. And then there's another promise. For Zephaniah says, at that time I will gather you. At that time, I will bring you home. My favorite poet is Robert Frost. Some of you will have studied Mending Wall. You probably hated it at school, were forced to study it. But I find his words bring me great joy. And he has a poem called Death of a Hired Man, a poignant poem, a powerful poem. It's a story of a couple who farm a small farm, and it's the bleak midwinter. And there's not much work around the farm. The fields are fallow. And one of their hired workers arrives. A guy who always used to come looking for work, normally when there was less work to do, and who avoided work, who was not a hard worker, and when they needed him most, would abandon them. And he's come back broken. And the wife has met him and led him into the kitchen, and he's sitting by the fire, and husband arrives. And before he can get in, because she's worried he'll chase him out, the wife rushes outside to greet him. And she says, Silas is back, and he's angry. He doesn't want him there. Doesn't want him present. He's a freeloader, that kind of person. And he says to him, why doesn't he go up to his relatives just down the road? And she says to him, but he's broken. Broken. And the husband says, why doesn't he go home? And then goes on to give this definition of home. Home is the place when you have to go there, they have to take you in. Home is the place that when you have to go there, they have to take you in. But she responds and says, no, that's not home. I should have called it something you somehow haven't to deserve. I should have called it something you somehow haven't to deserve. God is calling us home. That's the promise of Zephaniah. And I want to invite you to think of home not as a place, as a destination, but to think of home as a relationship you haven't to deserve. Zephaniah says to this broken community, to those who are wounded, will you put your trust in a mighty God, your King, who wants to deliver you, set you free, but also longs to live closely, deeply in relationship with you, such that you would have a home in God's presence, that you would feel the warmth, the embrace, the sustenance, and the life that you need. The poem ends when the wife and the husband walk in and discover silence has died. And you get a sense that that farm was a place where Silas knew he could come and be received and welcomed. I want to say to you that our God longs to receive and welcome you. God longs to speak a word of hope to you that can sustain your faith, a word in the midst of difficulty and struggle. And I have to confess, I preached to you today with some anxiety and concern over what's happening this weekend, the ANT conference. And I think God wants to speak to us a word of hope that can sustain us and be a light into our communities and give us hope to carry on. I've been intrigued around Edenvale and Eden Glen where I stay. There are people who've put up various things around Christmas decorations. There are a couple of Father Christmases climbing up on roofs. And others have got reindeer landing with lights. Others have got lights. My hope for us as a community is not only that we'd have lights on our roof, but that Zephaniah's promise of a hope of a God who calls us home, who wants to be with us, that hope would become a light within us, such that we would become lights within our community. I want to say to you, those of you who have made baptism vows, you have nothing more or less to do than allow God to infiltrate your life, to so fill your life that you would be a light to your children, to your family. That God's hope would speak to your faith, which would encourage you and enable you to speak to the world a message about our God that is mighty to save. In this season of Advent, in which we celebrate the presence of Christ in the world, coming home to us, I pray that Christ would be so real to you in your life that you would experience Him bringing salvation to you. Hope in the midst of darkness. Amen. Let's be still for a moment. God of grace and mercy, we thank you for the gift of your love, which comes to us undeserved, unexpected, and invites us to come home to a place where we are nourished in life, for life, with life. So come and enable us to find our way home so that we can be held in with you and in you. Speak your hope to our faith, that it would deepen our love. We pray this in your name. Amen.